Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a daily show to equip, inform, and inspire educators to teach with less reliance on the textbook through technology, creativity, and innovation. I'm your host, Matt Miller. Let's get started. This is episode 101 of the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a member of the Education Podcast Network, coming to you again from Portage, Michigan, where I've been working with lots of fantastic teachers as we're getting ready for the school year. I just had this really interesting conversation that we're going to kind of replay for all of you with Paul. Paul, do you want to tell them real quick who you are and what you do?
My name is Paul Murray. I work for Portage Public Schools. I'm a technology integration specialist, and I work with teachers to train them on ed tech and instructional practices in the classroom.
Yep. Very good. And we were just having a discussion about how when students use technology, a lot of times, you know, for many of us adults, we're kind of concerned about the distracted nature that they have whenever they're using it, and how sometimes that's really all that they know. You know, it's like that's all that they've kind of been trained to do with technology. And so anyway, I was wondering, just sort of help us put our finger on that problem. Like, what is sort of the state of distraction with technology with kids as you see it?
So first of all, you've got to remember that all of our kids have had devices in their hands pretty much from day one. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be not educational tools, but toys instead.
Right.
And so they are allowed to surf on those and explore and create in a very free-form manner. Mm-hmm. But then when they come to the classroom, we are very strict about which way they're supposed to go and how they're supposed to do it. And that doesn't adapt to the way that they've always used the device.
Right.
So we have to teach them how to use it as a tool instead of a toy.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not even aware of the behavior.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we need to do is help them understand that. And this is not a problem just for kids. I mean, this is a societal problem right now that we're
right.
facing.
Yeah.
Everybody faces in smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Notifications always going off, our compulsion to answer those notifications. So part of this is actually creating awareness. And, one question I ask my teachers when I work with them is, have you ever had the discussion about YouTube? I mean, not the one get off that video YouTube conversation, but
yep.
actually the conversation about what does it mean when you come up to the recommended videos at the end of a YouTube video? What do you do with those as a student? How do you interact with those? Is what you're following, is that something that's going to feed the instructional thing, the learning that you're supposed to be doing, or is it something that's going to distract you and take you away from that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fact that just awareness is kind of like step number one. My phone is an Android phone, and I just recently got access to this new app that they call Digital Wellbeing, and it like tracks the number of times that you unlock your phone, the number of notifications that you've gotten, and how many minutes you've used on each app. And I've been looking at those statistics, you know, pretty much every day, and going, oh my goodness, there's so much there. And that has kind of helped me be a little more mindful of it. So yeah, I think that sometimes, and you're so right, that kids just don't know sometimes, and adults don't know either, you know? And so just, I think being aware, that's huge.
Absolutely, and we've got to remember as adults too, when we tell a kid, hey, you know better, or you shouldn't be doing that, they don't necessarily know that to be true. And we have to remember also that most of us grew up without devices in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We have a foundation of experiences that we know what it looks like not to be attached.
Right.
And these kids don't.
Yep.
And so we have to help develop that skill set for them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, so being aware is definitely a good step there. What are other things that you suggest?
What are other things that I suggest? Well, building stamina is a good place to start.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you don't just go run a marathon by getting up and running a marathon that day. You have to start. You run a mile, You run 2 miles, mm-hmm. and then you walk a little bit, and you change your routine up, and eventually, guess what? You're running 14, and then you're running a marathon. It's a process.
Right.
And sometimes what we expect of our students is we walk in with these great ideas in independent learning, mm-hmm. and we say, here, kids, go at it. Mm-hmm. And they fail. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they fail is because they're not used to that. They don't know necessarily how to have that control over their own learning experiences.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is, hey, kids, for 5 minutes today, we're going to be independent thinkers. We're going to be independent learners. We're going to track that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Hey, guess what? Last week we were at 5 minutes. This week we're going to do 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And yep. So you need to start building their stamina up for them to be able to do some of the great things, like a genius hour, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got time for probably one more thing. Do you have any other suggestions for it? This is great stuff.
One of the things that we have to think about is success in life. Mm-hmm. We ultimately, that's what we want to do for our kids, is we want them to be successful. And one of the things that some of the studies that I've read have shown is that the single most predictive factor of success in life is the ability to focus. Mm. It doesn't matter how much money you have available or how smart you think you are. Mm-hmm. It's your ability to focus. And all of us listening right now, you can think of those individuals in our lives or those public figures where they have had a single-minded focus to get something done, and that's their success. Mm-hmm. And we've also known people with lots of money that end up going nowhere, and yeah. lots of intelligence that can't focus in order to get the job done.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend that. And also, if I may put a plug for a book, not my book, and I can't give you the author right now off the top of my head, I love the book, The Distraction Addiction, mm-hmm. And I also love Bored and Brilliant. Those are two wonderful books that'll start challenging your thought process on what it means to be distracted.
Wow. And you know, I really think this is one of those skills that we can help kids develop that's going to have such an impact on, you know, the rest of their lives. It doesn't always fit neatly into the content and the curriculum and everything, but that's really, it affects all of that stuff. And I think this is a way that we can really make a positive difference. I love that. If people wanted to get in touch with you or find out more or whatever, do you have any place where they can go?
Oh, absolutely. You can always find me on Twitter, at Paul_Murray6. Uh-huh. That's Murray. And you can also reach me at my email address. I'm going to give that out, scary
right.
as it is.
Okay.
pmurray@portagepsi.org.
Okay. Very good. This was awesome. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love it, be sure to leave a review and rating on iTunes to help others find the show. Thanks for listening and happy ditching.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.